So that's all I got for our topics today. We're going to switch over to Stephen Ignoramus. We're going to have a quick chat with him about Jan 6, the rally, and everything in between. So thank you so much. Stick right with me. We'll be right back with this interview with Mr. Stephen Ignoramus. Joining me now on the show, we have Stephen from the Ignoramus Media. He's on YouTube, he's on Rumble, he's on a bunch of different stuff. He's a well-traveled, well-versed America First patriot who was not only at the CPAC rally two weeks ago, he was also at the January 6th rally in 2020. So, or 2021 it would be. So thanks for joining us. This is Nate versus the Nation. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, this is great. I'm looking forward to being on. Checked out some of your content. It's good stuff. I'm glad to meet a fellow traveler out here. So I'm sure we'll get into some interesting stuff.
Yeah, so it's great because I was actually trying to have another Jan 6 protester on, I believe it was a month or two ago. And it was kind of like they were really excited about it. And then all at once they were like, actually, I don't want to talk about any of this stuff, which is, you know, understandable with how the prosecution and how people have just been getting hawked down. So yeah. Let's start with a very kind of intro question. When did you start supporting Trump? Was it at the beginning at 2016? Were you someone that kind of picked it up midway through? What was kind of your timeline there?
Interesting. That's an interesting question because it's kind of complicated. I would say that I really only was full gung-ho for Trump for about a six-month period. And it's, I don't dislike Trump. Like, I'm a Kanye supporter now.
Yep.
I didn't start lives. I started live streaming. And this is one of the interesting things about, like, one of the things that my show has become is where my personal life and where I've lived has intersected with current events and history. I lived in D.C. for 10 years. I moved there in 2010, and I moved out 4 months before January 6th. And then I went back for that rally, and that was the last time I was in D.C. In 2016, 2015, I was, like, a kind of mainstream kind of center-left libertarian, actually. I'm a former liberal. I mean, I come from an arts background. I'm a professional musician.
Yeah.
I lived to be in D.C. at the time. You're not going to make a lot of friends if you're not a liberal. but I also didn't really challenge my beliefs that much. So, there was about three times in my life before I started streaming that I wanted to start either a YouTube channel or a podcast or something like that, did other stuff instead, and then I started streaming every weekday starting on January 3rd, 2019, and that led me to January 6th, 2021. So I was never really opposed to Trump. Like, one of the big things that red-pilled me was not Trump, but it was seeing the people around me being so violently opposed to Trump.
Yeah.
And I was, on the election in 2016, I was at the local bars, people screaming in the street, crying. and I was actually having a pretty good time, even though I wasn't a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, it was the only option, you know, and I like Trump. I think he's funny. I don't think he's ever been like incredibly based, but he's, you know, he's been the best available at the time. And then I don't know what we can say and can't say on this channel or whatever, but there was clearly some shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. Good
regarding the most real event in history in 2020.
The election that happened, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I just knew that was it, what it was. So that's why I was a supporter of him at the time. But I also, the reason I was January 6th was not necessarily, I'm not a big protester. I'm not a big like activist. I'm a live streamer and I'm a comedian and I was there covering that. I also have my beliefs, but if you look at the tape, it's like a 9-hour live stream. I'm talking crap. I'm telling jokes. I'm trying to get, because I've covered leftist protests too.
Yeah.
And I'm just always trying to get into the content. So it's interesting for a person that's in my shoes. I'm not as big of a Trump supporter as a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that being like Trump no matter what is pretty cringe. It's not as cringe as being a never Trumper.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a cult of personality thing that runs rampant in our culture.
Yeah.
So I try to shoot people straight and just be funny and like worship God and, you know, let it be what it is. But Trump's an interesting figure. So, I mean, yeah. So, to answer your question, a relatively short amount of time was I full-blown Trump. Basically, from the time of George Floyd to, like, 6 months after January 6th.
That's so funny because I was libertarian. I wouldn't necessarily say I was liberal, but I was libertarian going into the 2016 election. And I kind of got, I liked the business side. I liked it, you know, because, you know, libertarian is all about economics and making money and stuff. And so I'm like, you know, get a business guy, run it like a business, you know, that'll be good. And I was kind of like a normie, very much like Turning Point USA. What was his name? Crowder. I watched a lot of that stuff. And then kind of similar to you, like 2020 with the George Floyd stuff, I really was just kind of, I could not turn the switch off about how radicalized the left was, how radicalized the right was becoming, and how almost that, like, we needed it. I felt like we needed it. And kind of like you said, in 2016, I voted for him, but I wasn't like a huge, like, if there would have been someone else, I probably would have voted for him. If somebody, another Republican would have won the primary, I probably would have voted for the Republican. Mm. But the, like you said, the cult of personality really sucked me in. And once I got to that kind of red pill stage, it was more about kind of finding what is real on the right. And that was even around Jan 6, there's a lot of different people representing a lot of different groups. Yeah. And Nick was one of the people that I just instantly, you know, I've been looking for someone young. I felt like the Shapiro, the McInnes, the Crowder types, they're good guys. But the youth is really what I see on a day-to-day basis. I see young people and they're just going down a terrible path. And religion played a lot. I wouldn't say atheistic, but I was non-religious in 2016. And seeing the hatred of Christians and the hatred that comes from the left, it's just really, really toxic. And so, it's interesting to see because where Trump is now, we don't really know if he's this based, you know, authoritarian leader that's going to come back and set the country straight. Or if he gets elected again, are we going to see another 4 years of some good things, but, you know, him hiring the wrong people, him endorsing the wrong people. So that's kind of where I'm at with that as well.
Yeah.
So what was your overall takeaway from Jan 6th? Would you say that, now obviously you can only say what you can say, but, you know, legally and whatnot, but there's this dual-headed narrative that is coming out of Jan 6th right now. One, it's kind of like what you're hearing from Tucker right now, where nobody really did anything wrong and that it was, which I am not saying that, you know, obviously that it was a horrible thing and that I was distraught by it. But you have people like Nick who are saying more that it should be something that we are, you know, not necessarily always negatively referencing it. And then we have people like Tucker and the Fox News who are going to say, yeah, everyone there was, you know, except for the feds, there was only people that were going to have a good time and to peacefully protest. And I've looked at a lot of footage. I've looked at, you know, stuff that was coming out right at the beginning that didn't look so good. I've looked at stuff now. And what was your opinion from being someone who was there? What was your overall takeaway? Was it a mixed bag? Was it more fed than protester? What was your opinion? What is your opinion, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point. And just to go even a little bigger picture than that, I mean, one of the things that I've grown into doing on my show is kind of putting to death this either or thing. I mean, I think that's a pretty big scourge of Western thought and modernism is that it's one or the other. And you get to postmodernism, and that means they're saying that it's not even one or the other. It's that there's no truth at all. And I think that both are very flawed, especially postmodernism, but the modern Western liberal, small L liberal thing, and I would lump conservatism in with liberalism as well. It's a type of liberalism.
Yep.
It's just this or that. And there are multiple camps. I mean, I've you know, talked about this a lot on my show and on interviews and stuff like that, where it's, you know, people want a simple answer, where it is this thing. Okay, it's like, can a thing involving 250,000 people be just one thing? I suppose it could be, but even, you know, that's why the history books, they seem so simple, but it's complicated events because there's humans acting. Do I think there are feds there? 100%.
Yeah.
We would have to talk about what a fed is. I actually talked about this on my show today, where I think we really got to chill out about the usage of the word fed, and that's because feds exist.
Yep.
You know, if it's just a person that's acting like a fed, dude, people are retarded, man. Yep. People are going to fed post. Yep. Just because they fed post doesn't mean that they are a fed.
Yeah.
And just because something benefits the feds doesn't make them a fed. To me, a fed is a person knowingly and willingly working for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And do I think there was a ton of people like that there? No, but you don't need that many people like that to instigate. So I saw agent provocateurs that day, and I didn't know whether they're like federal agents or just leftists. There were people there that I thought were just like straight up Antifa. But I do agree with the Nick Fuentes notion of it was pissed off patriots.
Yeah.
Now, did most of the people that were pissed off patriots like attack people or break stuff? Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a lot of moving parts that day. I mean, there were also like just straight up journalists there like me.
Yeah.
And like if I had to latch onto one narrative, yeah, I think that it was planned. It was, or at least allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were documentary film crew. Pelosi had a documentary film crew there that day.
Yeah.
She didn't wake up and make that call that morning.
Yeah.
So it was allowed to happen. Part of it were planned. Part of it was just like history was rewritten after the event, where it wasn't the worst event in human history. It was called that.
Yeah.
It was they seized on the opportunity. So, you know, like it's complicated.
Yeah.
I sometimes don't even think that some of these deaths are accurate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I embrace the conspiracy realm on a lot of this stuff, but, I think what, you know, for lack of a better word, what the J6ers say about the election, I believe their story on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but also I don't agree with Western liberalism. Like, I don't think the people have like the right to overthrow their government violently. Not that that's what they were happening that day.
Yeah.
But what, like that, the whole thing, this comes from this Jeffersonian notion of the blood, the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time. That's not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
I can quote scripture that says that's not allowed. We're supposed to endure. So it's complicated. So this idea of like, I pay taxes, therefore it's my house. That in a way.
Yeah. I listened to the Jacob Chansley thing, and he was kind of he was saying some of that. And
I don't agree with that stuff, man. Now I do think that the government should be held to their own standards, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that the citizen can do a certain thing, but it means like, to me, the government has to obey the Constitution. We don't.
Yeah.
Because that's not a document about the citizen. That's a document about the government. So I don't know, man. I hate to like not even answer your question.
No. It's a difficult question.
It's just difficult. But I try to keep, when things are supposed to be simple, like who is God? I mean, it's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's mm-hmm. simple. That's one way. But it's like, what happened that day? It's like, you know, the media lies and government lies, but also people lie. And in big situations, people play up their side on mm-hmm. all sides. So I try to just be like fair, funny. And one of the reasons I live stream and don't edit videos is just because I like raw.
Yep.
And you can watch I did 6 5-hour response streams to my own footage. And it's just raw, uncut. Yep. And you're going to see what it is. But I mean, what it was a historical event, and I was there. Like, that's what it really was. It was a world historical event.
It was so crazy, because I remember that day. I remember seeing the videos leading up to it. I remember seeing Alex Jones just getting super hyped, like just, you know, 1776. And I wanted to go. I remember I had something show up at essentially the last minute, and we ended up not getting our plane tickets. But I remember seeing on Twitter the things that were trending and the emotion. Like, I literally felt like I was witnessing a part of our own 1776. And, you know, then we move on and we move forward and we see the persecution. Obviously, we're going to be showing some clips of this later. You had to do some jail time. Is that correct? Yeah. For your, for being at Jan 6, essentially.
Yeah. And, you know, just to comment on, so I think, I hope you said this on air, not off air, but you said that there was a person that you're going to interview and they got like cold feet about it.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet that they have not gotten sentenced yet. I started opening up about this stuff after I got sentenced.
Mm.
And that was May 10th of 2022. Yes.
Yeah.
I got sentenced almost a year ago. And after that, I got sentenced to 2 years probation, 3 weekends in jail and some other terms. And when they arrested me, I was staying with my mom for like 3 months because I was buying a house in Tennessee. So, and she was moving too. I stayed with her for like 3 months. It was weird doing that at like 33 years old. you know, when they arrested me, they raided her house at like 5:30 in the morning. And they took, when I say all of my electronics, like they took two computers, two phones, my mom's Wi-Fi router. They took so much electronics of mine. So I got sentenced, and then I waited till I got my equipment back, and then I started talking about it because I was like, I want to make sure that I got sentenced. There's nothing they can use against me. I got my stuff back, and then I did a full like 2 week series on this stuff. So yeah, I just did 3 weekends in jail. It was like the last weekend of January, first two of February. Dude, it could have been way worse. It sucked. I mean, it's jail. I don't know if you've been to jail before.
Yeah, it went once.
But, I mean, dude, there's people looking at straight up years. I mean, it's what – mainly the people that are looking at, like, decades are people that are in these groups. And they either, you know, allegedly either hurt people or broke stuff or they're caught up in this, like, RICO thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been way worse. But, you know, it could have been way better. I don't know. Yeah. The thing is, like, I've been asked by liberal friends whether I, like, regret it. It's like, regret is an interesting word because, like, I don't, you know, I don't know. Like, being involved in history is something that I've aspired to be a part of my entire life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, like, if there was, like, a war, I've thought about being, like, a war journalist before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do I want that war to happen? No. But, like, I'm going to play my part in doing my job. So, you know, what happened happened, and I did my part. I did my, like, you know, I did the crime. Yep. I pled guilty to a charge. I stand by that guilty plea.
Mm-hmm.
I did parade, picket, or demonstrate in a federal building. You know, that's what I pled guilty to, and I got sentenced. And so, yeah, I did jail. It's interesting. I mean, yeah.
Did you, when you were in jail, did you get any, like, comments from other people that were there about, like, oh, my God, you know, you were at Jan 6, or was it relatively quick and easy?
Well, I mean, certainly wasn't – I didn't get any negative comments.
Okay.
Because I was in a very red county in Tennessee.
Oh, duh, Tennessee.
And so, like, what happens when you're in there, I mean, the number one topic of conversation is what are you in for?
Mm-hmm.
And some people that were kind of sketch, I would just be like, you know, trespassing. And it also says on the sign, like, they write your name on the glass and whether you're being transferred, you're being bailed out, or if you're a federal inmate. So it would say, like, Stephen Baker, 48-hour Fed. And I was, so it said I was a federal. So they're like, yo, you're federal for 48 hours. What are you doing? I'd be like, I would say trespassing. And then we would talk further. And I'd be like, yeah, like it out of DC. And a couple dudes figured it out without me saying anything.
Oh.
They're like, oh, you're one of those. I'm like, yeah. And so we would talk about it. So I became a little bit of a celebrity in there and dang, some of the guards knew. And it was interesting. I kind of like keeping my head down and like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, you don't want to be like well known in jail.
Yeah, the rock star.
You want to just like get through it. But it was, jail was an interesting time. But you're just in a holding cell for 48 hours. Yeah. They don't turn the lights off. You're just there on a concrete slab for 48 hours. Oh, it sucks, God. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The holding cell is like the worst part. I got a Dewey when I was in college. And
yeah.
So I've been through that at least once. Obviously not your situation, but so you kind of talked about what is going on now with activism. You talked about how you're going to be a war journalist. How do you think it is going to be for conservatives moving forward with protests? Because one thing that was a huge issue and that always pissed me off from the get-go was that we essentially had the media and we had the government officials at some points come out and say, hey, if you're pissed off about something, then you have the right to get pissed and go in the streets and burn shit and, you know, do whatever you want. And then we see this exact same thing happened on Jan 6th. And now you have this issue of, like you said earlier, the calling everyone a Fed. Everyone is paranoid about federal informants 24/7. And, you know, people Fed post. People are going to say stuff online, especially at a rally. People are going to say crazy stuff. And the fact that we didn't hear about any of the names of the people that died in the Black Lives Matter riots. We had that retired police officer who was shot in San Francisco. David Dorn. And unless you really dug, you could never find anything about that. But you heard about Officer Sicknick. You heard about all these names who they then tried to dig up as soon as people really started to look into the times, the how long they were in the hospitals. Figures out a lot of them weren't actually injured directly from the protests themselves. How do you think it is going to be for right-wing groups? Now, there was obviously this is kind of the where I wanted to like break into this. You had many different types of groups there. You had Proud Boys, you had the Oath Keepers, and then you had the America First crew. One thing, and we'll kind of use this to transition into the CPAC and Nick Fuentes thing. One thing that I like about America First is that it's not this kind, and I love Proud Boys. I have Proud Boy friends. I'm not trying to say they're LARPers, but when you have this group that is almost encouraging, not like physical confrontation, but they're there to confront people. It runs into a honeypot for feds. And so obviously there's feds there, but at the same point, you can discredit a lot of people who have said a lot of good things by going fed, just because they say one thing on stream. So how do you feel that the state of protesting and getting things done through protest is moving forward after January 6th?
Well, I mean, you said a lot of it already. I mean, I'll expand upon it too. I mean, it's complicated and we have to be careful. And we also have to realize where the, I say this, quote unquote battleground. I don't mean this in a physical war sense, but where the fight is and how to be accurate as far as, you can just I hate to use gun analogies because that's not what I'm talking about. But the thing that's good about Fuentes is that dude has a sniper mentality.
Yeah, he does.
Where the rallies that he does are well thought out, and it's just in and out. He shows up at CPAC, gets kicked out, does a thing across the street, then he's back to doing a show.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of I don't know how much protests have ever moved the ball. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't move the ball for the left if the left wasn't in power. What moves the ball is power.
True.
And so we have to be seeking power and exploiting our power in a moral way, of course, in any way we can. So I see it through the lens of power more so than protests. I mean, dude, some of the biggest protests in history just get put down like dogs.
True.
and so, I mean, there are certain leftist tactics that I do want to emulate and I do think we should do, but I'm not sure if protesting is one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's kind of gay.
democracy, right?
Yeah. It's just mob rule democracy, but I am in the very sense of the word an elitist.
Yeah.
Where I believe in a natural elite. I want a natural Christian elite that will just be able to look at the mob and say, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Cause they are.
Yeah.
and there is power in numbers sometimes. I don't really believe in this notion of Western rights necessarily. And that's very most groups don't like me because I don't say things that the libertarians don't like me. I don't say things that are convenient to their worldview. Conservatives don't like me at all because they're about our rights in 1776. I think 1776 was a little bit cringe, man.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I love America. I love my nation.
Yeah.
But, I think that the right, there's not many things. If you talk about the broad right, not me and you right wing, like the broad right wing, there's barely a thing that does not need to be reframed. The whole thing needs to be reframed, reformed, and potentially destroyed. So a new movement can rise up. But I mean, I think we just need to be looking through the lens of power and alliance, and we have to be very smart, very calculated, and let's leave it at that. You know, start businesses, get involved with your local church, run for office, ask questions, infiltrate. And if you can't infiltrate because you're just nuclear like Fuentes, you start your own thing. I will just point you in a word, I would just point you to his playbook. His playbook is as good of a thing I've seen, and that's why I'm part of that movement.
Yeah. That's the same thing here. And that was kind of what, again, drew me to him in the first place. When the Black Lives Matter rallies first and the protests started breaking out, you saw mainstream conservatives from Trump figures to center conservatives to libertarians all bend the knee. And even the people that didn't completely bend the knee, they would say, oh, well, I don't stand for the organization, but Black Lives Matter, I still love, you know, they would kowtow as much as they could. And Nick just came out, took these really edgy jokes, pissed off everybody on the internet. And I was like, you know, in this time right now, there's not a single conservative who's going to stand up for white people. And Fuentes, you know, again, people denigrate him for this, but the fact of the matter is that is a demographic that is just getting kicked in the gut over and over again. And the Black Lives Matter rally was a huge thing for me, just because I felt like, you know, we've, as Americans, you know, as liberal conservatives or whatever you want to call, we've talked about, we've seen past race. We don't see race. You know, we're all colorblind, and it's really, it's just not the same for every, the white Americans have carried this argument and this conversation, and that's just not the sentiment that the rest of the country feels. And so when I listen to Nick and I hear somebody who's unapologetically Christian, unapologetically, you know, traditional, and tries to actually conserve things that matter. And, you know, you talk about the conservative movement, the state of it, and look at what the conservative movement, even with Trump, is pushing forward for president right now. You have Nikki Haley, who is just a nonstop cringe fest. You have, you know, Ron DeSantis hasn't declared yet, but he has, you know, flip-flopped over issues like COVID, immigration, all the, you know, sending the immigrants to Martha's Vineyard, not really accomplishing anything. And Trump, you know, the guy who I always wanted to see as this, you know, again, authoritarian dictator, something that I kind of started to like with the more the presidency wrapped up, the more that I realized that that guy might not be there anymore. And when you're surrounding yourself with Richard Grenell and all these other people, it really, like you said, it makes you wonder if the entire conservative establishment, the entire Republican Party, needs to be restarted and kind of reset, kind of do a factory reset. Because, again, look at, like you just said, with 1776, Republicans love to beat the drum, 1776. Did we necessarily get the best outcome from 17? I mean, don't get me wrong. America's a great country. We were great for a long time. But, you know, even 100, 150 years ago, we were starting to see the scale slowly start to turn to the side of destruction and immorality. And like you said, progressivism and stuff like that. And so it's crazy. And so I guess that's what that will transition to, into the topic about CPAC and the Fuentes rally. So you were at CPAC, you were there. What was the overall vibe you got from the, I guess there was a lot of different groups that were represented there. What was the overall vibe you got from the crowd? Were they impressed or were they left a little empty?
Well, I mean, impressed by Trump, what you're asking?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's another thing that's a little bit complicated. I mean, I went on Twitter in the couple days after. I mean, so I was at the Trump speech. I streamed. I was sitting with a bunch of Groypers. That was cool. Mm-hmm. Shout out if you guys are listening. and it was, you know, and so what I saw over the next 3 days on Twitter is spin mostly regarding the crowd size and the crowd enthusiasm. Yep. And people that said, when someone says packed, okay, they mean, in my opinion, 95% plus filling the room.
Yeah, you're looking
that
for
wasn't
chairs.
True. Yeah. That wasn't true at all. Yeah. Now, was it like less than, I would put it at about like 75%, 80% filled at the peak of the speech. He went on for like 90 minutes. People started leaving in droves after an hour. He's definitely lower energy than before. That's objectively true.
Yeah.
He's lost his edge to a certain extent. And I was about, let's see, I was not the back of the room. I was probably like 60% towards the back, 60, 70% towards the back. The energy was low back there. I took my camera and went up to the front a few times, and it was high energy at the front. But I feel like CPAC's just fucking gay, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it really is.
The people that are excited, I think most of them really aren't that excited, but they have to act like it. And yep. When you start living out a lie, that lie becomes your reality.
Yep.
So it's like, it's just a put-on gay show.
Yep.
I went to CPAC last year. I just because of my stream kept dropping last year, I didn't go into the speech area at all last year. So I just walked around the whole time. That's most of what I do is I walk around at any event. And I was at the George Floyd ones too. And that really red pilled me. so, you know, that was a big part of my shtick is just to walk around, tell jokes, try to capture random content.
Mm.
But yeah, people, I think the Trump moment's over, man.
Yeah.
If it's him versus a Democrat in 2024, I will vote for him. I'll support him. I won't like it.
Yeah.
Give me just one second.
No, you're good.
Sorry, I was sick earlier this week.
You're fine.
All right.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, yeah. So if I will never, I will like actively campaign for a Democrat if it's DeSantis.
Yeah.
I think DeSantis is a terrible pick. He should just be the governor.
Yeah.
He should just be like the king of Florida for life.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing for him. But I do think the Trump moment is over. He still may win, but Trump is an old man.
Yeah.
He can't be, you know, this is an interesting take, actually. I forgot about this. I said this last week. The Trump type is they kind of are, they're trapped. They trap themselves. Yeah. I put out some tweets about this.
Yeah.
Where he saddled up with Jews and sodomites for so many years that say he were to like break with them and support the dissident Christian right, the young right, he would alienate those people.
Yep.
So what he's forced to do is like placate both, but he has to be favored towards one.
Yeah.
And that's the sodomites and the Jews.
Yep.
So in a way he's trapped in this position where it's set a precedent and there's momentum for this fake gay conservative establishment thing, which he's not totally buddy-buddy with, but he has to be a certain buddy-buddy with because that's what the masses are. But it's like they say, too little, too late. This is too liberal, too late.
Yeah, it is.
It's too liberal. It's been too liberal for so long. I hope he wins. I hope that ushers in like the next person that can be based, but Trump's a 90s liberal, dude. He always has been. He's a 90s liberal that knew how to throw an insult and call like women pigs and stuff, you know, and that's dope. I love that.
Yeah, that was definitely, but you know, one part of it.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll keep going to CPAC forever, but I mean, I want to infiltrate CPAC. I want a booth next year with three of my other friends that we can just like advertise stuff and tell jokes. And I think there's room for that, but eventually we will get outed as like a person that's anti-gay, a person that is pro-Christ, therefore anti-Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just there's a lot of tiny hats and gay people at CPAC, dude.
Yeah, I was at AFPAC last year, and
me too.
I thought that you could just walk and like buy a ticket to CPAC, and so I Ubered up to the Gaylord, whatever building it was in Orlando, and I tried to walk, and they blocked me out. And I was like, God damn it! So then I kind of did like what you were doing. I just kind of walked around and tried to meet people, and the more people I met, the more like even the boomers and like some of the the Gen Xers. Even them, when I was talking to them about the difference between AFPAC and CPAC, even some of the boomers were like, yeah, there were a bunch of rhinos like that we know that are not, you know, these are all obviously like super MAGA, super pro. They're like, we know these people don't like Trump, but I'm not sure why they invited him here. And I was like, well, unfortunately, Trump is in some way attached at the hip. You know, as soon as he really, I think is almost, it was like the good and the bad with him becoming president. Because, like, and he said this, he doesn't really know who to trust when he went to the White House. And clearly, you know, Lindsey Graham, McConnell, McCarthy, what he's doing right now, terrible choices, but it's like it's again a little too late. There's no one he can rally around. The America First caucus, outside of maybe Matt Gaetz, is, I would say, completely compromised. Yeah. They don't really want to. Again, they're willing to talk about trans, but they're not really willing able to talk about the gay problem. I think the gay problem is just as bad as the trans problem, because let's say we were to completely make trans illegal or whatever. Yeah. If we don't take out homosexuality, then it's just going to continue to grow, start a seed. It'll blossom into something else. May not be trans, but it's going to be something just as degenerate. And right. when you look at what Trump is doing now, I feel like he even tries to kowtow to the dissident right sometimes. I feel like after the Ye and Nick meeting, he got hit with a splash of reality that a lot of the younger conservatives, or the people that are really, you know, online a lot, are starting to wake up to certain truths. And like you said, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if he I had a prediction earlier a couple months ago where I said it would be awesome to see, not awesome, but it would be interesting to see Trump if he was to be completely abandoned. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who would he turn to? Would he have to, you know, go right and say, yep, I support Nick and I support Ye? Or would he have to double down and completely liberal, completely homo out, say I support, you know? And again, he's still holding these gay meetings and stuff at Mar-a-Lago. And so it's like, as much as headroom, as based as he sounds, and again, like you said with the energy thing, his voice sounds different. I don't know what it is.
Straight up.
But it's like high, it's higher pitched. Like it's not the, you know, you go to 2015, he was not only knew what to say, he knew how to say it. Like the dropping the bomb about Hillary, you'd be in jail. That was just like instant. Everyone was like, oh, I don't think he could even, like, even with these DeSantis nicknames, they're funny. Don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, making fun of people is one thing he's good at. Mm. But the delivery just isn't there anymore. And I want someone who's like, and again, my whole life I've kind of been stuck with these conservatives, these normie conservatives that'll go, well, you know, it's all about being political and, you know, saying this. And, you know, you don't want to be, you know, a lot of people hated Trump at the beginning because he wasn't political enough. He wasn't the politician. And then he went to the office, the White House, and he was completely turned inside out. And now, you know, you have to really get him pissed off. You have to get him really riled again to get that old kind of flame back. And so that's kind of what I'm disappointed in. I really wish that we could get him back, the old guy, but I think he's been swallowed by the normies and the neocons, unfortunately.
Something happened. Yeah. I mean, so, and it's like, you know, it is actually just interesting thing that happened to me in jail. Is there was a guy, most of the people that I was in jail with were conservatives. And I remember talking to this one guy saying, you know, we talked about what I do. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to CPAC. I'm going to stream from there. And I was just like, yeah, I just like troll people and make fun of people. And he's like, well, just the rhinos, right? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, it must be hard to find some of those at CPAC. And I was like, you need to get on the internet or some shit, dude. But I mean, yeah, I think in a way, I mean, well, at this point, look, rhino is basically just like a pejorative insult. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm pretty, like, I like words a lot and I like definitions of words. So if you take it literal, like Republican in name only, if you take it from a literal standpoint, Trump is a rhino.
Yeah.
Because he's basically a 90s liberal, a 90s Democrat. He calls himself a Republican. And, you know, but I just don't, I'm not even Republican. I'm not even conservative. I'm not even, you know, one thing I thought about the Fuentes rally is that he just like hit an absolute grand slam with this label Christian futurism.
Yes.
And that was so dope. I mean, because we can't go back. We have to go forward, and we have to go forward with Christ as our king. And that has to filter into all things. And you know, we all are sinners. We all have worldly aspects to it. But when I see Fuentes, you know, he's eccentric and he loves fast food and stuff like that. But you can tell that he's not a worldly guy in the same way that Trump is. Trump is a guy of this world, which is why, you know, the mob and popularity does really affect Trump. Mm-hmm. And a person like me, and not to like compare myself with Fuentes or whatever, but we do have that same thing where popularity is a thing that affects us in that having more of it is good, but it does not affect our like take on stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I like about Nick is he really hasn't moved. And again, I started following about.
He's gotten more radical, dude.
Yeah,
He's gotten even more hard. It's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. The Christian futurism. That's the thing that I really, and it's just, we are so lacking when it comes to these revolutionary ideas with the Republican Party. It's like the same things you've heard since you were a kid, essentially. You know, we got to go back to the 80s or we got to go back to the 70s.
Right.
You know, even on TikTok right now, there's like this huge trend. What's it, trad, where all these girls will dress up like 60s and 50s chicks and dudes will be wearing, you know, these 50s suits and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I admire beauty and what is actually beautiful, but there's got to be a way that we can move forward without having to constantly LARP in the past to get, you know, because we can be traditional Christian moral people without having to, you know, dress up like we're six decades ago.
Yeah. That's so true. It's just got to be the future, and I think that Nick Fuentes is definitely the future, and we're that's why I've tried to like practice just being like, I am a fan of him unironically, unapologetically. He's the best pundit I've ever seen in my life, and he's good at other stuff too, obviously. But his takes are just awesome. Guy can go off the cuff all day, so I got mad respect for that guy. It was good to meet him. It was really cool.
I'm actually kind of jealous. You really got a good shot.
Yeah,
as he was getting
viral,
kicked out.
Viral moment.
Yeah, I was like, I saw that and I was like, oh my god, what a perfect position. And I mean, you nailed it too. I mean, you didn't, you know, get in his way. You just got the whole moment from entrance or I guess door to exit. And that was pretty cool. So tell us about the Fuentes rally. Comparatively to the CPAC rally, obviously they had some venue issues at the last minute. But do you feel like it was pretty well attended? Do you feel the crowd was pretty hyped? It sounded pretty hyped.
Yeah, it was very hyped. I mean, like, one thing that I don't know how to improve on the skill of this, but for a person that attends all these IRL events, I'll tell you, I am so crap at estimating crowd numbers. Everyone's always like, how many people? I'm just like, dude, I don't know, man. I mean, like, it's like there's those games where you have to count the number of boxes in the corner by like, and I've always been crap at that. There's probably like 150 people there at the Fuentes thing.
It looked a lot bigger. All the videos I saw people commenting on that were the naysayers, they would take a video of like the line and they'd go, there's like 30 people there. It's like, there's 30 people in that line. And then they take another picture, go, see? So it's like, again, you have all these naysayers. And again, you had all these people that were trying to defend CPAC, you know, saying, oh, the left is trying to frame it as, and it's like, no, your numbers actually were down at CPAC, but you definitely never would get the truth about how, again, AFPAC last year, 1,200 people, 1,500 people, when they announced it this year, I would not be surprised if it got, at least got pretty darn close to what CPAC held this year.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so there's a little bit of debunking that should happen right now. When these people are saying these numbers of CPAC, like the 2,000 number, they're talking about people in the speech room.
Yeah.
Okay. There was at least 12,000 people at CPAC.
Oh, wow.
I mean, but that's way down from last year. I mean, that's huge down. I mean, like you're walking around and there's always more than 1,500 people in the speech room. Always, the whole time. Mm. And then you go outside and there's probably five times that, like walking around. Now that's not to like, be honest, that's not to discount anything else. That's just what it is. There's at least, I mean, I would put like $2,000 on that. There's at least 8,000 people at CPAC all the time.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if the number was closer to 12,000. Now AFPAC is better. That's why I care about like content and quality rather than numbers. I mean, in 3 years, I bet you AFPAC's bigger or Nick's going to get assassinated.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's very, very radioactive. But, so the Fuentes event, it wasn't AFPAC, obviously. It was just like an America First rally. Big shout out to the Marriott, by the way, because the Marriott Residence Inn hosted it. Mm-hmm. AFPAC 3 was also at a Marriott.
Yep.
In Orlando.
People are seething about that.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's some Groiper. Like the it'd be funny if there was like the father of a Groiper was like in charge of Marriott. Events at Marriott. Yeah, yeah, exactly. but the energy was awesome. Just a quick word: the haters of Fuentes are pathetic, dude. Yeah. They only have they're literally NPCs, dude.
Yeah,
they say Catboy. Yep. They say because Fuentes said having sex with women is gay, which was a hilarious bit, by the way. Yep. It was like, and in a way, he's right. Like fornication, promiscuity with out of wedlock, it's gay, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Like it's predatory towards you and toward. It's just not good. It's gay.
And it's been so wired now. It's not even. It's not sex. Like it's a pleasure act. It's not procreation. It's not anything the way God intended it to be. It's wired into our head through media that it's to achieve this certain emotion or this certain feeling.
It's disgusting, dude.
Yeah. And that's all. And
it's gross.
The majority of men now really tie their worth to that. You know, how many women have they slept with? You know, all this other, you know, what's their body count? Or do they have a girl? You know, some dudes, you know, I'm 26 or 27. Some dudes my age, literally, they cannot function if they do not have a girlfriend. Like, they break up with their girlfriend, and their entire life, from when they break up with their girlfriend to when they find the next girl, is hunting for the next girl. And it's made a lot of men very lackadaisical. It made a lot of men think once they find a girlfriend to kind of nurture them, then their life's just going to take off. And then they realize once they get it, it's, you know, not what they thought it was. And the... Yep. The incel movement and, you know, whatever you want to call what Nick pushes is very much needed in society. The kind of the reshuffling of the priorities with men and women, he's got it right. You know, we've even amongst the conservative party. I mean, you think with all the feminism and with all the LGBTQ stuff, you wouldn't think that the answer from the conservative party would be, let's put Nikki Haley. And the first thing she talks about is how she's a woman and how she's an immigrant and how she blah, 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 blah. But that's exactly what they did. And the conservative apparatus cannot be fixed unless you put guys like Fuentes, you know, guys like Ali Alexander, guys like people who are supporting the America First movement at the front. And so that's something that I've really just been blown away with Nick is, you know, his professionalism. Again, he goes on this Pearly Things stream, this Pearly Things show, goes on Keith Woods' show. And unlike all these other alt-right figures like Richard Spencer, National Justice Party, all the stuff like that, it's palatable. And people that are actually looking for information and stuff they've never heard before, they can listen to Nick and find out a whole lexicon of history and of politics. Again, conservatives think that conservative policy has to be strictly economical. If it's not talking about putting money in our pockets, then it doesn't matter.
And freedom.
Yeah, and freedom and rights. You know, one way that they've kind of bastardized this term rights is with the abortion thing. Every woman now thinks it's a right to terminate a pregnancy whenever they want. They think that they should just be able to sleep around with whoever they want. And no matter what the dad thinks or no matter what anybody thinks, they should just be able to, you know, stab it, suck it out. And that's that. Yeah. And it's this freedom concept because they say, well, it's my choice. It's my body. It's body autonomy, freedom. All of these ideas have been played out to their natural ending in America. And the hyper focusing on doing whatever you want to make yourself feel good is the reason where we're at right now. And it's ultimately, I think, of the devil, because God doesn't tell you in the Bible you know, follow what makes you feel good. Follow what makes you smile. It's follow what God tells you. And I can't look at the Republican Party, you know, at the top down, even the ones that, you know, bang the Christian drum the hardest. I cannot see any Christian morality being pushed within the modern conservative movement.
Yeah. I mean, when there is, it's very watered down. I mean, that was an interesting thing. I mean, like I said earlier, what I do at CPAC or at these events, I basically just walk around and do laps the whole time, try to find content, tell jokes when there's no content. There was there's a Christian presence, but it's this like feminized, watered down Christianity. I mean, but there was this one booth that was these ladies that paint Christian stuff there, and you know, this person, like this lady, like worships while she's painting. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I, you know, not even I guess. Cool.
Yeah.
But also, there's a booth for the log cabin Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a booth for Atheists for Liberty.
Yeah.
There was a Protestant church service. I'm Protestant. I went to that church service. It was cool. I don't know how to say this without coming off the wrong way, but the pastor was ethnically Jewish. I've no reason to think that he wasn't a Christian. He's a Presbyterian minister, but he's definitely Jewish. I mean, he made jokes about it. He said he looks like he could be owning a Jewish deli in Brooklyn. I mean, the guy was definitely Jewish.
Yeah.
But I have no reason to doubt his faith or whatever.
Yeah, messianic Jew. Yeah, yeah.
No, not a messianic Jew. Oh. I don't know if a messianic Jew is someone that keeps the Torah. I mean, messianic Jews that are not ethnic. Messianic Jew does not mean ethnically Jewish necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, there are plenty of messianic Jew converts that are just like white, but they keep the Torah. This guy was an ethnic Jew that's a Presbyterian. He's like a Presbyterian. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was interesting. It's just like there's a lot of this like emotionalism, feminine driven, feminized Christianity. And that had a big presence there. But no wonder it's getting conquered. I mean, God's a man, dude.
Yep.
God's masculine or male, I should say. He's not there needs to be, and I think CPAC can be dominated, dude. Like, I think, like, I'm small potatoes. I think next year when I go in there with a plan with four other guys, like a team, I think we can utterly dominate CPAC.
Yeah. Well, the Groypers themselves, really. I mean, again, they're
huge presence, man. I saw a ton of Groypers there. It was great.
Yep. Well, I know that when I went the year before, there were a lot of them there. And you can't silence you might be able to kick him out. You might be able to do this, might be able to do that. The viral videos, chanting Groyper, Nick doing what he did. That was one of the head pictures coming out of CPAC that weekend that was being pushed all over the internet. It was Nick, not, Trump speaking. It was Nick getting kicked out. So this small group of Christian futurists, is the new term that we're using. It's not going to be able to be swept under the rug and kept out of the... I mean, again, Nick was trending, the number one trending thing on Twitter for, 3 weeks after the Trump meeting. So they can't really keep this movement down anymore. And it'll be interesting to see if the conservative movement, eventually folds and essentially calls themselves liberals outright, or if they at least try to come and meet the new young Christian futurists and try to concede to us a little bit instead of conceding to the left.
They cannot, in my, like I kind of covered this earlier, but in my opinion, they cannot openly support us.
Mm.
They can't. Yep. It comes down to like a game theory type thing. I mean, what are you going to alienate the Jews? I mean, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but like, a couple things on just like tactics and, nuance is, I think the smart play, and this is what I do at CPAC, is I'm not a big like chanter. I'm not a big like activist, rah-rah guy. What I do is I throw on the America First hat, I smile at people, I be cordial, I be funny, I make friends, and if they ask me if I support Nick Fuentes, I say absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need to like get in people's face. You just need to kind of not play by their rules, as in like the CPAC types, they're all liars, dude. They're all fake and gay, opportunist liars. I don't mean to be that, but in a certain way, you do have to play by the rules of human respect. And you're a guest in their lair. So you have to kind of just be like, throw on that hat, put a smile on your face, do your job, get a booth, try to infiltrate until you get kicked out. When you get kicked out, you make content about it. And you play the game.
Yeah.
You have to. And Nick tried to play the game.
Yep.
I mean, he was on YouTube. He's doing what he's doing out of necessity to a big extent. And I love him for it.
Yeah.
But if Nick, he's talked about this before. If Nick could be on YouTube and could be at CPAC and could be at Twitter, he would and he should.
Yep.
These people that are just like, oh, Get on Gab.
Yeah, I was gonna say Gab.
It's retarded, dude. Yeah. I mean, I'm on Gab. I don't post there, but you should have alternate accounts. But why would you not want to be on the biggest stage?
Yep. Well, it's like all these conservatives that it's almost like they self censor. Like they're just like, oh well, I got a strike, and so I'm just gonna go over to this thing over here that has 10. You know, they'll start something like Parler, yeah. Truth Social. It's a good thought, but ultimately you can't upload millions of users who, you know, that are already existing on Twitter that are already following you. Not everyone's going to download the app. Simple as. Yeah. There are people who already have the app downloaded who are on it every day. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're kicked out of the public square, you know, you have to sneak into the public square every once in a while and go, hey, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Try to get as many people as you can, because ultimately, if you're in a one bedroom house, you can only get one person in there. So you're not going to be able to spread the message. You're not going to be able, like Nick, one of the main reasons he's grown is TikTok. You know, he's not on TikTok. The America First Groypers are always pushing his content. And so you're getting these people red pilled. You know, that's how Sneeko found it. And so it's really interesting to see the red pilling in real time. You're definitely seeing, it's like a huge pendulum. You've seen it go extremely far left with like my generation and, you know, slightly younger. And now I'm starting to notice with some of the younger guys, they're just getting fed up. They're getting pissed and they want to completely restructure society. And when you look at society around us, it's not that irrational of a request. So that's about all we got for today. Rounding up at about an hour here. I'm going to allow you to plug your social media, plug all of that. So the followers I have can listen to you and listen to more about what you've had to say. And I think we're going to keep in contact. I'd like to keep having you on the show. We had a good back and forth.
Yeah, for sure.
Today.
Anytime, man. This has been a good, good experience. And yeah, we got good rapport and stuff like that. So appreciate you having me on. So I'm all over the internet under, you know, my original, you know, my name is Stephen Ignoramus, my online name. I've now been doxxed and stuff like that. So if you type in Stephen Ignoramus into Google, you'll find all kinds of hit pieces and stuff like that from J6. But, you know, it says my name, my one of my YouTube channels up on the screen right now, The Dumb Stream. That's where I'm streaming every weekday at 10 a.m. for a while. No stream tomorrow because I'm a recording artist, so I'm in the studio right now making an album. So most days of the week, I'm 10 a.m. Eastern time on The Dumb Stream, as well as, I guess I'll put it this way. If you go over to my Linktree, linktr.ee/ignoramusmedia, you'll find all my different channels, Rumble, Odyssey, a couple YouTubes, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, stuff like that. But I'm pretty easy guy to find. But you join my Telegram, you can follow me on Twitter, JR Normus on Twitter. That's about it. Yeah, linktr.ee/ignoramusmedia. And it was awesome coming on, man. You should do my show too, man. It'd be a good interview.
I'm down, dude. Whenever you want to have me on, just let me know.
Yep. Great. All right. Sounds good, man.
Thanks for coming on, Stephen. We'll be talking, of course, in the future. Have a good rest of your day, and we'll be in touch.
Cool.
Thanks, man. That was Stephen Ignoramus. That was a great interview. Lots of stuff to talk about there. Lots of stuff that we got into. I'm going to try and keep having him on the show. That was a pretty good back and forth there. I think that we have a lot of things in common. So thank you, Stephen, for coming on the show. Thank you all for tuning in to our 100th episode here on Nate versus the Nation. Remember to fight for your family, your faith, and your freedom. I'm going to play you out today with a good old song from a video game that I think kind of well encapsulates the thought of the conservative movement right now. So remember, fight for your family, your faith, and your freedom. I will see you all again on Monday morning on Rowdy IM. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
You are now listening to Nate versus the Nation, your first stop to get the informational ammunition you need to fight this culture war. And now, coming to you from Lincoln, Nebraska, your host, Nate Davenport. Keep your rifle back.
hoping they'll come tonight. They'll have our children in their sights. But if they don't have faith, their eyes are blind.
They can scream and they can shout, but they can never smoke a sound. Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth was made for us. Singing, oh Lord, this sinful life just ain't enough. When we hear the voice, we know we have no other choice. Keep your rifle by your side. They'll have bombs and they'll have tanks, 'cause they've got money in their banks. But we won't fall asleep.